This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Paul Reindel, our executive producer, yesterday. Dennis Lynn, our beloved, tweeted out something, and he was saying Chris Paddock's going to be shut down, and he was going to say Blake Snell is still trying to get back to the mound, but he accidentally wrote Blake Paddock, and he didn't delete it. So Paul takes...
I gave him a few minutes.
You gave him a few minutes to delete, and he did it.
And he ended up replying and said, obviously, I mean, Blake Snell.
Paul takes Blake Snell's face and puts it on Chris Paddock's body.
With the mullet.
I almost peed in my pants. I saw it yesterday. I was convulsing laughing. My wife was like, what is your problem? I'm like, oh my God, look at this. Put it on Ben and Woods, if you would.
Yeah, just retweet.
Paulie, it's just incredible. If you're not on Twitter, sorry. It's really funny. Blake Paddock.
We need to make sure that somehow Blake Snell actually sees that. He'll have comments, you know. He'll have comments.
Somebody, if anybody knows Blake, please send that to him. It just murdered me yesterday. Great job, Paul.
So, Jay Stengler did say that Blake Snell has a chance to pitch again this season.
But
Chris
why?
Pettick doesn't.
Who's Chris Pettick?
Chris Pettick. Well, that's the thing. You can just shut everybody down this last week. I mean, you can make the argument that Fernando Tatis Jr. shouldn't see the field again. At this point, why risk anything else? Just start working on that shoulder for next season, whatever they're going to do, whether it's surgery, what have you. Get started with that R&R or procedure now, and don't play him again this year. But there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, he's in a very tight MVP race, and while it shouldn't matter, you know, one last week of the season, it might. If he shuts it down and Bryce Harper hits a couple of home runs this week, might be the difference between winning an MVP and not winning an MVP. And I think you want to give Fernando Tatis Jr. every opportunity to win an MVP award. I mean, how amazing would it be to win an MVP at his age in a season where you were hurt the entire time and missed about a little under a quarter of the games due to injury as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be absolutely incredible, and it kind of boggles the mind to think, what could Fernando Tatis do if he's healthy and hot and plays 158 games in a season? I mean, he could put up staggering numbers, and at some point in his career, hopefully next season, he will. I mean, he's going to be a monster the way things look. But if he can win an MVP this year, that would be an unbelievable feather in his cap at this age. But again, it's very close, very tight race. Voters are people who get swayed by storylines, and a couple more home runs in the last week might be the difference between winning it and not winning it. So you want to give him that opportunity. The other thing that Jay Stengler mentioned is that, well, these games matter.
They do.
In the NL West race, they matter incredibly to both the Dodgers and the Giants over these last six games. And for the integrity of the game, you have to put out a pretty reasonable lineup that at least has a chance to win a game or two against these teams. Otherwise, you're just kind of rolling over, and then you are helping decide the division in a not-so-savory way.
Well, and here's the other thing, and here's what you won't get on this show. If the Padres finish, how many games they have left?
Six.
If they finish 6-0, you know what you're not going to hear, at least from me. You may hear it from Ben. You won't hear it from me. Man, I'm really proud of the way the guys fought and
battled.
Won those lacks. Yeah, sorry. Battled. It's such a good...
You know, you battle, you get the tying run up.
They battled.
And great battle. To see the guys battle. It's good to see the battle back.
Yep. Battled.
And we got to continue to battle.
The guys kept battling.
They've been battling the way we battled back. And these guys, you know, battled throughout the year. We battled.
Was that every instance since the start of spring training, Paul?
No. That's since Wednesday.
That's since it was brought to our attention that, yeah, he really has like that word, that one word, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago.
But so the what you won't hear is, well, you know, this is really something great to build on for 2022. Oh, it's great. I love how they finished.
It means a nothing. Lot of, it, it means, no, you won't it, even hear me say that.
Now,
it means nothing.
Now, listen. Do I want the Padres to go in and kick the holy hell out of the Dodgers and make it as hard on the Dodgers.
And then roll over against the Giants a little bit.
So you want to bring up, you know, Matt Andrioli, and you want to bring up mean or
Friday, mirrors, Saturday, mirrors. And Sunday?
Yes.
After taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers?
You want to bring up, you know, BOG again, get him one more cup of coffee? Fine by me. But I do want to see. I mean, look, as the Dodger fans remind us, when we play the Dodgers, it's our World Series. So we have the World Series starts tomorrow for San Diego Padres fans.
Well, the Padres have never been below 500 this season. They were 1-0. They fell to 10-10 at one point. They beat the Dodgers and have never been under 500. They are right at 500 right now, 78-78. So if they lose tomorrow, they will be below 500 for the first time all season. Is that something worth playing for?
I mean, no.
It depends on your perspective, I guess.
No, I mean, again, Paul, we talked about this last week ad nauseum. Hey, I mean, I'd really love to see them finish above 500. Okay, why? It doesn't really matter at all. and trust me, you don't want that narrative. Hey, we finished above 500.
No.
That's not a narrative you want.
You almost don't want them
you
to.
You almost don't want them to because it's been such a disappointment,
yeah.
Right? But you do want to see, I think the players owe it to the other teams. I think the players owe it to themselves to go out and give max effort for 6 more games. And Hannah asked me the question last night as we were having dinner. She goes, how hard is it to go out and play those games when you're eliminated? I go, babe, I can't even wrap my head around what it must feel like when the alarm clock goes off and you got to go and put the camos on for a day game on Sunday. It's the last home game. You're out of it. You know, the Braves need it. And you're just, it's got to be hard. Now, they cry their tears into giant piles of money, so I don't feel that bad for them. But as competitors, yeah, man, you want those games to count.
I mean, you were eliminated from being a professional baseball player like
many decades
30
ago.
Years ago, yeah. But you still take it seriously
very
when you take
serious,
the field. I still
seriously.
Take my golf seriously.
100%. Man.
You have pride. Everyone has pride.
Do you? Yeah, that's the thing. It's a pride check right now. So, but I think Jace does owe it to Giants fans, and I think Jace does owe it to his guys to put the best lineups out there that you can, at least for the next 3 games.
All right, we will get back to this and get some of that podcast audio in just a few minutes. Right now, though, let's get some headlines from over the weekend and kick off this week with a Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Here's a weird story. The headline is, woman claims she's married to Michael Jackson's ghost.
It's the Rindle Report.
Excuse me.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Guys, it's happening.
What?
All right.
All right, we made it.
All right. We will start off in the world of college football. The Aztecs, look, they were heavy, heavy favorites.
Did they ever put a line on the game
at all? I never saw a line.
I'd say if they did, they probably didn't cover, ultimately. But I don't know what the line was.
Yeah, I would say the spread would have had to be
at least like 30, 31, yeah. Something like
Aztecs
that.
Aztecs won 48-21 over the Towson Tigers. And yeah, I think a lot of books just stay away from those games. But Aztecs moved to 4-0 on the year. 48-21 victory of the weekend. Lucas Johnson, 149 yards, touchdown and an interception. And then they had kind of their three-headed monster running the ball, Chance Bell. Had 79 yards, Kagan Williams had 76, and Jordan Bird with 75 yards and 2 touchdowns as well.
You know, they've only been 4-0. I saw this, like, twice in the last, I don't know, like 50 years. They were 4-0 like 5 years ago, and they ended up going 6-0 before losing. And then this year, that's it. You don't get a lot of 4-0 starts. So they made it through non-conference play.
Embrace it.
Unscathed, and will start conference play after a bye week against New Mexico, where they will be fairly heavily favored again, I would think.
Hey, you can't go undefeated until you go 4-0.
That's exactly right. You got to win. You got to play them one game at a time. Paul.
One game at a time. It is getting interesting in the NBA, guys. I know it's the off season, but it's media day, and training camps are starting up this week, and Really kind of started over the weekend with the NBA denying Andrew Wiggins's request for religious exemption from
Wiggins's
COVID-19.
Or just Andrew Wiggins' request?
I don't know.
Well, so I'm Woods.
I'm Higgins.
You're Higgins.
We both have S's.
So if Woods had made a request, it would have been Woods's request?
I don't know. I think it's just a Stephen Woods request. A Ben Higgins request.
We're going to the Higgins house. We're going not the
Higgins's.
Right? I was an English major. I should know this.
I think it's just S apostrophe. There's actually, it's like you're not adding an ES at the end. Okay. I don't know. Continue
either
with the Wiggins, the Wiggins story.
The NBA, you know, they're cracking down on proof of vaccination to play in your home game, in a lot of the home games. And so Warriors swingman Andrew Wiggins, he requested a vaccination exemption, citing religious reasons. He was denied that. That was on Friday.
See, here's the thing. Being religious doesn't exempt you from vaccines. Religions actually, weirdly enough, like people to live mostly. So they're good with vaccines. So you can't just say, oh, I'm religious, I can't get a vaccine. Unless you're like a member of a very fringe religion that doesn't like believe in any science of sorts, then you're not going to get a vaccine exemption from the NBA.
Yeah, so everything, you know, the league is working with each local city that has a team. And for example, like New York, San Francisco, they have regulations now in place. And if you want to play in those arenas, you need to be vaccinated. And I caught up with, well, we don't know for sure, but my man Devin Booker for the Suns, he is going to miss the start of training camp due to health protocols. And that's all we know. Kyrie Irving.
Weird.
Oddly enough, was not at media day today for the New York Nets, or New Jersey Nets, excuse me. Not there.
Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets. We don't know why he wasn't
what
there.
What year is this?
We just know that he wasn't there, and it's kind of...
Well, he was going to get the vaccine, but he was worried about sailing off the edge of the world before getting it. So. Right.
But that's not the only story to come out of Nets media day today. Kevin Durant was at the podium and was receiving questions and got a question from NBA insider David Letterman.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh, right.
And my second, my last name is
Durant.
My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD? This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
I don't,
out of nowhere.
I don't know how this all came to be.
Dave Letterman from Basketball Digest.
Did he retire a few years too early and is finding... Maybe, like, I think I have too much time on my hands now.
What a genius.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD?
The ball, again.
Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Is Kevin in on the joke?
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh, right.
And my second name, my last name. My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD? This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
Wow. He's everything that I wish to be. David Letterman. That's everything that I... The sarcastic...
Why don't you join a Padres Zoom media conference this week and ask Jay Stengler some of those questions?
Why do you always say battling? Can I get you a thesaurus?
Steve Woods, Baseball Digest.
Baseball Digest. Steve Woods from Baseball Digest.
Mr. Tingler. Ting.
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 Why do they call you Skip sometimes? God, that's so good. Just like the dumb, obvious question guy. It's so good. Obvious man, if you will.
I don't know if, I assume this was done on Zoom. I assume Kevin Durant was able to see who he was talking to and, you know, the giant beard, and maybe he was able to, I don't know, but it was it's making the rounds this morning. It's
I mean, how you know? David Letterman retired when Kevin Durant was probably like still in college or even
possibly,
before.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much Letterman he got to watch growing up.
It's fantastic, though. We need way, way more of that and more of him.
I need that all season long.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And finally, got a headline here from NPR. Rare Pokemon Oreos are selling for thousands of dollars on eBay. Oreo teamed up with the video game cartoon phenomenon, Pokemon, and they made, like, etched into the outside of the Oreos.
Are these just in random packages? Because I ate a few Oreos last night when I got home,
I didn't
check them at all.
Watch your kid like call you and be so pissed at you because you ate his special
$1,000 Oreos,
Pokemon Oreos.
Similar to how the trading cards worked back in the day, there are different Oreos with different characters out there: Pikachu, Charmander, and then the extremely rare Mew character. And some of those Mew Oreo cookies are going from anywhere from $50 to $10,000 a bag to $100,000. Listings include, you know, a mint condition cookie.
Mint.
Ooh, I had a mint Oreo yesterday.
Was it
good? Yeah, I like the mint flavored ones.
I like the golden ones myself.
Really?
The golden outside, not
the chocolate?
The golden Oreos. I like double stuff. Yeah, I think those are really tasty.
And you call me a deviant for liking Milano cookies.
Yeah, that's
golden Oreos.
Pervert.
Golden Oreos are much more deviant behavior than Milano cookies.
They did a study on every sexual deviant that they arrested had a pack of Milanos either in his van, in his Camry, or in his pantry. Everyone
they're so crisp. Give me the old
regular frosting. Yeah. I like the double stuffed.
Yeah, I like double stuffed.
No, single stuff. I don't want double stuff on my Oreos. And certainly not golden.
I love the golden ones.
You know, they
love
have
the goldens.
I like Trader Joe's. They have good knockoffs. The JoJo's just don't do it for me. I need the real. Anyone's parents ever buy them? Hydrox?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dad. Here's that nickel that you saved by buying us Hydrox. And they get stale. Like, the worst part is when they don't get stale, like, hard, they get stale soft. And you bite into it, and you're like,
yeah. I think the Vons brand are tuxedos.
So tired. Just buy the real thing, you cheap turds out there.
What kind of name is Hydrox?
Hydrox.
Like a cleaning product.
Cleaning product. What was the fake Dr. Pepper?
Mr. Pibb?
No, Mr. Pibb's delicious.
You like Mr. Pibb.
What's the...
Oh, there's like a million of them out. Texas has like 42 fake Dr. Peppers.
Yes, the fake Dr. Pepper was one. So just buy the
Hydrox. I mean, Hydrox.
It's $1.
Did anyone stop to think that is the worst name for a cookie in history?
Something like a bleach.
Yeah.
What is that fake Dr. Pepper? It's going to drive me insane. Somebody will tweet us. It's so funny, the name.
My double fudge bleach.
Yeah, Hydrox.
Put into the washing
all
machine.
Soft because somebody left the... Then one guy tweets in, golden Oreos suck. The next guy tweets in, golden Oreos are awesome. So
right,
I love them, man. More for me.
Another debate here on Ben and Woods. And that's our
debaters here.
That is our Rindle Report. Bryson and Brooks, did they finally kiss and make up after a big win at the Ryder Cup? Woodsy and I were obsessed over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Talking about our mental health has the power to save lives. We witnessed that firsthand with Odyssey's I'm Listening Mental Health Special, which featured Kevin Love, Justin Bieber, Shakira, and many others who shared wonderful insight and tips for coping. If you missed the special or want to hear it again, it's on the Odyssey app and odyssey.com now. Please remember, you're definitely not alone. Hear I'm Listening now on the Odyssey app. Well, our Twitter feed is now a combination of cookie takes and Dr. Pepper alternatives. After
Dr.
that left.
Skipper is what I was thinking of. Mom, can I get a Dr. Pepper? No, I got Dr. Skipper, though. Tastes like flat Dr. Pepper. God. Ugh. Dr. Thunder was there, too. It's amazing. Remember RC Cola?
I like RC Cola.
Of course you do.
It's hard to find.
You do.
But RC Royal Crown. Actually, a very good cola flavor. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who agree with me on that one.
What is your go-to soda? If you're going to get a soda, because
I've got only one.
I don't drink alcohol very much anymore. It's very rare.
Everyone at the Siegel knows what my go-to soda is.
I know
is.
What yours
yes,
is.
They even, because they've got 24 beers on the board, just like at the Beagle and the Siegel.
Yep.
So when I ask for a number 25 and I go off the board, it's always the same. Sun-kissed orange. Yep. Sun-kissed orange
is fantastic. Paulie, what's your go-to soda?
Diet Coke.
Straight up Diet Coke. Not Diet regular? Coke.
Nope.
You actually, like the I don't, taste I don't of like, Diet Coke.
Yeah, I prefer it. I really don't like regular Coca-Cola at all.
God, I love it so much. It's
too much.
It's my one vice left. Soda, and I know it's so bad. Everyone says, hey, Woodsy, quit drinking alcohol, you'll drop 20 pounds. I quit drinking alcohol for the most part, you know, years ago, and I still have those 20 pounds, probably from soda.
The crazy thing is that studies say that people who drink a lot of Diet Coke, even though it has zero calories,
yeah.
tend to gain more weight.
It's weird.
It is very weird. It seems like, what? I'm not drinking the sugar. I should be able to drink all of this I want.
It's the fake sugar.
But it, like, makes you hungrier or whatever it does. It tricks your body. And it doesn't really work that well.
Recently I tried a couple of Coke Zeros, and those were pretty good. Those are pretty good. So I got a couple of those in the house in case of emergency. I try to only have like one or two a week.
Yeah, I'm like one Sun-Kissed a week at most.
You can't, I'm not going to be joining any fitness competition anytime soon, so I'm good. You know, I also want to live my life a little bit. And you think a couple of sodas a week won't hurt anybody, Ben. That's how I think, at least. That's the mental gymnastics.
That's what we tell ourselves.
That's the mental gymnastics that I play with myself. Paul, how many Diet... Because I know people that drink Diet Cokes that are hooked. Like 6, 7, 8, 9 a day.
No, I mean, there's been times. There's certainly been times where it's been like that. No, I don't know. 3 to 4 a week?
3 to 4 a week? See, not bad. Moderation. Moderation's key, Ben.
Dr. Slice.
Is that the fake slice?
Yeah, well, but it's a Dr. Pepper version. Oh. Got it right here. We're getting tweets all over the place, Woods. All right, we watched a ton of Ryder Cup over the weekend. Just a dominating performance by a U.S. team that really, you weren't sure of when they put it together, but, they clobbered Europe. Even in the team matches where we usually don't do as well, alternating shot, they won 3-1 the first day, 3-1 the afternoon. Just pulled away from there for a 19-9 victory. And things were so harmonious that at the end of it all, Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka even shared a couple of big hugs. And it came out, Steve Stricker, the captain, said that they both came up to him before the Ryder Cup and said, we would like to play together. Now, he didn't go so far as to do that.
Why
but they
not?
They actually asked to play together in one of the matches. Now, you can't really say Steve Stricker made a mistake.
No, because he dominated.
Since it worked out so well, and who knows what would have happened if you kind of... I think it's a risk you didn't want to take.
It could have melted down,
it
right?
It could have, but it turned out everyone played really, really well, and it would have been very interesting to see had they actually partnered them together in one of the four-ball or foursome matches on Friday or Saturday.
It was so much fun, man. It really was so much fun. To watch the utter dominance by the U.S. team. And I tweeted, look, all right, the Euros, you got us in soccer. We'll give you that. You got us in tennis. You pretty much own. It felt good to get one in golf, right? It felt so good to watch. And it was, they take it seriously. It is like everything for those guys. And I thought it was just such a pleasurable experience watching. And my heart, had my heart racing, man, watching that. One of the cooler things they did, too, is they had that Wolf, the watch, right? Was it called Wolf or heart rate monitor, and they were showing the guys on the tee box on the first tee, and it showed their heart rate on the screen. And to watch that, bro, if it's just like three of us playing on a Tuesday and it's the first tee, my heart is pounding out of my chest. I can't even imagine. People are screaming and shotgunning beers and going nuts. They show Justin Thomas, and he gets up there and he's about 104 beats a minute. Right? And it's just pump, 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 pump. Hits his drive. The crowd goes nuts. And then once he watches his drive, 109, 114, 124. After he hit it, his adrenaline just surged through his body. It was so cool to see. I thought they did such a great job of bringing that thing home. I know there were a lot of complaints about NBC earlier, I thought, or early in the tournament, but I thought yesterday's broadcast was phenomenal.
Here's Ben and Woods, the heart rate monitor on the golf course. Let's watch them as they make the gentle climb up to the first green. 110, 120, 130, 145.
Apparently, Woods has done crystal methamphetamine as he is at 197 beats per minute. Bro, and
do we need to call the ambulance for these guys?
You saw the pressure on the very first hole, the very first match. It was Xander Schauffele gets up to knock in a three-footer and yanks it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my, it goes one down on the first hole. And you watch it and you go, dude, this guy's one of the best in the world. In three-footers, he can make it with his eyes closed. And you saw the pressure from the very first hole yesterday of what it means to these guys. So I couldn't have been more all in. I can't wait for the next one. Now I'm actually pissed I got to wait 2 years.
Italy in 2 years. Oh, and then Bethpage Black in 2025
now
in New York.
You and I will be turning 40. Or 50. Sorry. Damn it. That was wishful thinking. We'll be turning 50.
Trip to the Ryder Cup in 2025?
Ladies, if you're listening, it's what we want. Start working on it now.
Now, I saw a lot of people. How are the Ryder Cup courses designated? How far in advance? Because a lot of people are asking, what would it take for
to
Torrey
get one
Pines?
At Torrey Pines? It would be fun. I think they have picked all the way through 2033, for the United States. Yeah, they've got Bethpage Black and Congressional and Hazeltine. I think they've picked a lot of them all the way. So, like, the next open one is 2035.
Oh,
so
good.
It could be a while, but we can make that a kind of a
look
mission,
long to that
long-term mission, bringing the Ryder Cup to San Diego.
Is Torrey Pines hard enough?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. All right. In a U.S. Open, it can do a Ryder Cup.
That's true.
Although, what was great about Whistling Straits is, you know, it had a lot of drama. There was an ability to make eagles and birdies and drive par fours, but there was also the ability to make big numbers
nines
on short holes. Yeah.
No
you
doubt.
Put it off the, you know, into the lake or under these bushes, and these bunkers were really tough. Lends to a lot of drama in match play. Torrey, you make a lot of pars at Torrey if you're a good golfer. It's not quite as dramatic for match play. So.
Well, they can trick it up, too.
Yeah,
they can trick it up.
Yeah.
You talk about the drivable greens. I saw one of the highlights over the weekend. I'll just never hate on Bryson DeChambeau because he's the only reason I would watch golf right now.
Yeah.
He is so fascinating.
He's
a fascinating dude. When he drives the green, just hands his driver over to his caddy, takes the putter off the tee box, and just walks with his putter
in
his hand.
He was like Gladiator. He was like Gladiator. You win the crowd, you know, you win. And that's what he was doing. He was phenomenal. Captain America over the weekend, dude. He was great. And somebody tweeted, man, looks like the narrative has completely changed on DeChambeau. And I said, well, yeah, give it 3 weeks, and it'll be right back.
But DeChambeau with the hater crowds in Europe in 2 years will be even better,
it'll be better
than with the supportive crowds.
It'll fuel him, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
I can't
wait. Let's get to, when we come back,
let's get to that audio.
Rates and Barrels podcast audio about the Padres coaching staff and prospects for next season as well. Some good stuff coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Get ready for the Ben and Woods Open, Friday, November 5th at Encinitas Ranch. The Ben and Woods Open presented by 7 Mile Casino. Open 24-7 off the 5 on Bay Boulevard, minutes from downtown. And by Maestro Dobel, the official tequila of the PGA Tour. Best wishes to Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid on a speedy recovery. Apparently the Chargers almost killed him yesterday.
Taken
by ambulance away from that game at the end when for the second straight week, you really don't expect the Chiefs not to get it done in crunch time. But two straight weeks now against the Ravens and the Chargers, chance to be 3-0 right now. And instead, they are 1-2 and in last place in the AFC West. We had Eric Adelson on earlier who said, Chiefs just seem to be missing a little something
there
that they've had the last couple of years when they've won the AFC, which means wide open right now in the AFC. Wide open. Lots of teams think they've got a shot at it this year. But, I guess just dehydration for Andy Reid is what they're saying. But he did taken by ambulance away from that game yesterday.
Yeah. Interesting day in the NFL yesterday. Very interesting day. Browns took care of business. It made me very happy, Benny. The Bills are have righted the ship up there in the AFC as well. So, but the game of the day was last night's game. Last night's game, Packers Niners was just incredible. And for all of the people that said, "Oh, Aaron Rodgers just seems really checked out this year, just mellow." Did he look mellow? Did he look checked out of that game last night? Because what I saw was a dude that was insanely fired up. Driven to succeed. How did they miss that penalty in the waning minutes of the game, the spearing penalty that was just so blatantly obvious? You know, I tweeted, they're real quick with these taunting flags. You know, a guy stands up and, like, bows his chest. That's a 15-yarder. A play like that in crunch time, and you miss it. It's just it's staggering.
Aaron Rodgers sometimes comes off as a kind of a prickly jerk. I think he just doesn't suffer fools, and there's a lot of fools in the NFL and in the media, and he doesn't hide it very well.
I kind of realize.
Even in his own family, apparently. He just doesn't hide it very well and just makes him seem kind of like a surly guy sometimes. But he's also very sincere and articulate and intelligent. And, I mean, just talking about Mason Crosby, his kicker, after the game last night.
That's awesome.
Just, we sat on the bus together 15 years and... I mean, you know, guy always comes through. He doesn't, really. I mean, like every kicker, he's missed some big ones as well. But he certainly had some kind words for Mason Crosby last night.
I like him, man. I like Aaron Rodgers a lot. I wish I'd been more, watched him more. I've only recently come to really appreciate who he is as a player. You know, I can't speak to how he is as a person because I don't know him. But as a player, as a leader on that team, the calming kind of influence, but also very intense. I love him, man. Guy, you're talking about a guy, too, that I think the reason I like him so much, kind of passed over a little bit at the beginning of his career. Always kind of played with a chip on his shoulder. Big fan of that.
Huge. Wonder if they're setting Jordan Love up for the exact same thing when he's gone.
Could be. Could be. I'm just a huge, huge fan of that mentality. And, boy, you gave him, what, 37 seconds last night, and they got the job done. It was pretty awesome.
Was Jace Tingler hamstrung from the very beginning as Padres manager? We'll get into that. Some podcast audio for you right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. We're just beginning to try to sort through what happened to the Padres this season. And I will firmly declare it's not just one thing. It's not just injuries. We talked to Will Carroll about injuries. And it's not just Jace Tingler.
Right.
Or the coaching. But it could, you know, it played a part. Everything played a part in it. And saw this podcast over the weekend. Woods, you pointed it out to me. I saw it from some other Padres fans who were tweeting about it. Our friend Eno Saris, Britt Giroli was on it as well, who we had on last week, who has been writing about the Padres lately, called Rates and Barrels. Barrels and Rates?
Yeah, Rates and Barrels.
Rates and Barrels. And one of the topics got into Jace Tingler and the Padres coaching staff and the relationship kind of with A.J. Preller. Here's a little bit, what do we start with, Britt Giroli here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody in that organization is a A.J. Preller hire. Jace Tingler did not pick his coaching staff. That entire coaching staff was recruited and signed and scout and brought in by A.J. Preller. So this is not a traditionally run organization. You look at Detroit, A.J. Hinch got to choose his, you know, he got to choose his staff. Even in D.C., Davey Martinez, when he was a rookie manager, which is what Jace Tingler was brought in as a rookie manager, they did provide, Mike Rizzo did add some coaches, but Davey Martinez still got two of his own coaches. And he got more as he got this latest extension. He was able to bring in more of his guys, right? That's kind of how it works. Jace Tingler did not get a single say over his coaching staff.
Just, that's actually amazing. Put Jace Tingler up against A.J. Hinch because the Tigers just signed Ryan Garko to be the director of, I think it's like VP of player development or director of player development. I don't know exactly what the title is, but player development head. And there are so many ties between Ryan Garko and A.J. Hinch that, you know, not only Stanford, you know, there's other beyond that, that you could, like, it's, you could kind of read between the lines and be like, maybe this is kind of a Hinch hire.
Yes, it absolutely is.
So that's interesting to me for a couple of reasons, because I'll tell you what it gives. It gives the appearance, Ben, of A.J. Preller surrounds himself with yes men. I'm going to hire a guy that I can essentially control, right? It's my hire. Ben, welcome into the organization. Do kind of as I tell you and lead you to do, Ben, meet your coaching staff. Meet your staff. These guys are going to be working with you. But at the end of the day, you know who's calling the shots. It's me, right? So then you could see, and this is all speculation, by the way, all of it. You could see how players would look and go, okay, so who's this guy they brought in? Okay, interesting. All right, yeah. Runs a good practice. Seems to be a pretty upbeat, positive guy. Okay, I like that. You can see how coaches would stick together, not being on the same page as Jace Tingler, possibly. You can see how players would go, wow, AJ got his guy. He brought in his boy, and his guy didn't get to make any decisions. You can see how the culture would be affected. And again, don't know, not in there. But I'm telling you the appearance. When you hear things like that from national media outside of this market even, telling us, no, this AJ Preller kind of controls the strings.
Now, I don't know what the dynamic is, but clearly AJ is in charge. I mean, you know, he's not just the general manager. He's also the president of baseball operations. He is in charge. It is his responsibility.
Got a lot of hats.
For the organization. Now, you could say you could defer some of that responsibility to Jace Tingler. You hire him and say, okay, Jace, go ahead, put together a coaching staff. You know, this is kind of your job. We'll rubber stamp, you know, your hires and get it done, but we want you to put together a coaching staff. Now, they made the comparison to Davey Martinez when he was a rookie manager. Now, I will, for argument's sake, I will say, Davey Martinez had a long playing career with,
correct,
like seven or eight different organizations. He was a coach with the Cubs and another team for like a decade before he was hired. So he had a lot of coaches he had worked with in the past, you know, former players who had become coaches. Jace Tingler, much more raw when he was hired as a 38-year-old, no major league playing experience, and his only coaching experience was a few years in the Rangers organization. So I would imagine that Jace Tingler wasn't all that well-suited to hire a coaching staff.
So then why hire Jace Tingler? Because of the reason that you can, in essence,
and then pick all of his coaches. Had you hired Bruce Bochy or a more experienced manager, they're going to be more forceful in wanting to bring their own guys in. If you can't handle that, that is a problem.
That is worrisome. That is.
I don't know. Again, the speculation. I don't know what the dynamic is. I mean, you know, AJ and Jace could have sat in a room together, and AJ could have said, "Hey, we're thinking about these guys for coaches. We want to bring in, you know, these
Bobby
guys from Baltimore,
and
they worked well with Manny in the past," and Jace is probably going, yeah, I like
what
that. That's
you
a good idea.
For your first managerial
gig? Yeah, exactly. You just got hired. It's your boss.
Heard the line of garbage I was feeding Adam in our interview. What do you need me to do?
I mean, there's something to be said for part of that. AJ did hire Dave Cameron, you know, in his statistical department, who had been very critical of AJ and the Padres. Now, there was also the story of AJ hadn't seen some of that criticism before he hired Dave Cameron, and he hasn't exactly been the most front-facing employee since joining the Padres. But I don't know what the level of tolerance in the organization is for dissenting views and other lines of thought.
Well, so what are we seeing now in the moves that they're making? What has every single person that we've talked to about the moves that they're making, the firing, the hiring,
Sam Gainey, who was fired, was very much an AJ guy.
He was let go, but not brought back.
Very much an AJ guy.
What's everybody saying? What is the common thing?
Promoting other AJ guys to fill the spots.
They are reshuffling.
Yeah.
And that's all we're hearing. There's no bringing in a fresh blood. There's no going out and acquiring somebody or looking at somebody. And again, it's not over. We don't know what it's going to look like. I assume it's not going to look the same.
If they do make, you know, wholesale changes in the clubhouse, the manager, the coaching staff, I would be very skeptical if they didn't bring in someone with, you know, more experience than Jace Tingler had, and empower them a little bit more than maybe Jace Tingler was empowered.
I said it last week. I wish that managers, because here's the thing: if I'm going to hand over the keys to my car, right, my car being the San Diego Padres, I want to make sure I have hired a guy that I trust implicitly. If I got hit by a bus, can he make out a lineup? Can he run the clubhouse? Can he control the egos? Can he manage the guys? Does he know how to do? Is he a good in-game manager? If I'm going to hire a new morning show, am I going to hire some dude off the street? No. I'm going to hire a guy with some experience.
I think where some fans maybe get it wrong, though, is they They want AJ to hire like his opposite. They're looking for the Billy Bean Art House situation.
Right.
You're not going to hire someone who completely, you know, doesn't agree with you. Like, everything you do, I'm the opposite of that.
Contrarian.
You need someone who's on board and who believes in what you're doing and buys in. So you need someone who at least is on that wavelength. You can't hire someone who's going to challenge you at every single turn.
You talk about Farhan in San Francisco, and they bring in 14 new coaches with Kapler and everything else. It doesn't work unless those players buy in. And it doesn't work unless those coaches buy in. That's the culture that they created, and they've taken a team that everyone predicted would win 70 games, and look at them now. Because of what? Because of buy-in? Because of them actually trying.
If the players will only respond to a coach who they don't think is AJ's puppet, the Padres are in trouble. Because you're not going to hire someone who's completely independent, who doesn't have to answer to AJ at all. I mean, if you're the president of baseball operations of the team, Woods, are you going to hire someone who thinks like you do and kind of agrees with your philosophy, or are you going to hire someone who hates you and is going to stick a middle finger at every idea you send them down to the dugout? You're not going to hire that guy. So that's not happening.
Well, it doesn't have to be so black and white. It doesn't have to be, you know, and I think you can agree fundamentally. I mean, okay, here's how the combo goes. Hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? I want to win a World Series more than anything for the city of San Diego, for the San Diego Padres. Whoever does it,
well,
by
I
the
hope
way,
that's the bare minimum.
Right. Whoever does it, by the way, I was talking to my buddy about this the other day. Whoever does it, like you're good for the rest of your life. Like you're a king. You're the king of San Diego, the manager, the GM.
We say that, but even Joe Madden gets, you know, let go in Chicago.
Yeah, that's
so
true. But when Joe Madden
he still
walk,
goes back.
Can he walk the streets of Chicago and feel pretty damn good? Yeah. So I just think if there is a new managerial hire, Ben, I don't think it needs to be the polar opposite of AJ Preller, but I think it has to be the polar opposite of Jay Stengler. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I think it's got
to
be.
And it has to be someone who at least feels like has a little bit more independence from the front office than Jace did. Now, they still can work together, but the players have to, you know, you have to believe in the guy who's in that manager's office to a certain extent. You have to believe in him.
If you're the player?
If you're the player.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah.
And if you lose that. Look, if this one doesn't work out and we're having this conversation in 2 years, just gut all the players, all of them. Just clean house.
And AJ, because we said this last time. I mean, they got to all be on the last shot here, right?
You think so.
Didn't we all say, like, this, Jace Tingler was AJ's
last hire. I thought so, too.
AJ said it's my last. AJ said it. I got to get it right.
And here we are. Probably going through it all over again. I will remind everyone, Jace Tingler is still manager of the Padres for tomorrow night's game.
Yep.
As of now, against the LA Dodgers. A great Monday show from Paul Stanley Impressions right on down the line.
Thank you, Chula Vista!
Amazing. Thanks to all of our guests, Will Carroll, Eric Adelson, for appearing on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. We'll be back tomorrow. Final Jesse Agler Incorporator of the season. Get you ready. Talk about Monday Night Football. We got Eagles Cowboys tonight here on 97.3 The Fan. Have a great one. For Paul Reindel, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on Ben and Woods.